Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, there's a woman with a plan and a man with some abs. Can the two of them combine to create a great escape? Find out next on the Riverdale After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Oh, look at that. Some Jonas Brothers bringing us in. Yes, the Riverdale After Show. I have no idea what this song is about, but our lovely man in the booth, Jeff Graham, vouches for the song, and that's good enough for me.
This is not the Jonas Brothers.
I was going to say, this is Boys Like Girls, y'all.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
That's right. We had pitched the Jonas Brothers as an option.
Oh, look at that. That's how far behind the times I am. Welcome, everybody, to the Riverdale After Show, breaking down every episode of Riverdale, airing Wednesday nights on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maggie Clark. I'm so excited to be joining your panel tonight. I'm a huge Riverdale fan. My favorite show on TV.
And as always, we have Sam D and Ben Bateman. They are not able to join us this week, but they'll be back in 2 weeks when Riverdale returns as well on November 28th. But before we dive into the episode itself, we'll have some news and gossip at the end, as well as class president and class clown. Before we do all that, though, Maggie, as new to the Riverdale panel, what is your just take on the whole series in general?
The whole series?
Yeah, just, you know, it's third season. You've been watching the whole time. What are your thoughts about the series in
general? Well, you know what, you guys? I was a huge Betty and Veronica comic book fan growing up as a kid. I had the Betty and Veronica series. I had a lot of the Archie comic books. So I've been kind of following these characters for a long time. So once this became a TV show, I was just elated. And I have some of the comic books still at home. So I'd love to bring them in and show you next time I'm at the studio.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Those are always the old school. I think first time I read, the first comic books I ever read were my grandfather's barn. He had a bunch of old Archie comic books.
Yes. It's always amazing to me to see how they mirror the wardrobe of the original comic book characters in the series, like Jughead's little hat and, you know, Betty's like all buttoned up. And it's just great. They do a great job with the show.
That was the biggest question, is how they were going to translate, at least for me, Jughead's hat into a live action appearance and not make it look goofy.
Right.
And they've done a great job with it.
Yeah, even on his motorcycle helmet, he's got it on there.
That's right.
It's great.
So, more specifically, Maggie, what did you think of this episode overall before we dive into some specifics?
Yeah, this episode overall, well, first of all, I'm so glad that Archie is out of prison. It was such a toxic place for him. He didn't belong there in the first place because he was innocent. And you know what? Jughead, we're really seeing him get sucked deeper and deeper into Griffins and Gargoyles. And I'm really concerned about him. I'm concerned about how far he's going to go into this game. And hopefully Betty's going to be able to pull him out before it's too late.
I will say I am happily surprised that Archie's out of the prison much sooner than he was. I was anticipating they were going to stretch this out for longer into the season. It might not be until like the winter break that we finally get him out. So I'm happy to get him out this much sooner.
Me too. But oh gosh, like, I don't know about Tony giving him stitches or fixing up his wound. I just hope that he's going to be able to recover fully from that really terrible wound. He's exhausted. He's malnourished. He's injured. And now he's in a bunker.
Well, I mean, I feel like, because at first I thought, boy, okay, he crawled through a pipe with a bunch of sludge and sewage and whatnot. Then he goes down to a bunker. Not the most medically sterile place to get fixed up. But I have to imagine that Dilton Doily was, you know, he's a Boy Scout. He was prepared. So I imagine he's probably got a lot of medical supplies for any cuts or bruises or scrapes you would get while you're in the forest.
That's a good point. But Tony still is not like a trained paramedic.
Yeah. It's when she, the confidence that she had when she said at the end, oh, you're all stitched up.
I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know about that.
I didn't see your medical degree at all, Tony.
Right.
Yeah. So, and it's one thing if you got like a scratch or even a slice. But a stab wound.
Oof.
I don't know.
It could have hit an organ.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's not much body fat on Archie at all. That's
for sure. Ooh.
So as we get into it, I feel like the big overall part of this episode was kind of exploring Jughead's premise that this game is much bigger than just the board game itself. That it is a game that's exclusive to Riverdale. It's all about Riverdale and doesn't exist outside Riverdale and runs much deeper than just something that their parents played.
Right. And I mean, I was surprised to see that even the warden is sucked into this game. So yeah, it is much deeper than just some game that these kids may have just happened upon and now they're playing it. People in Riverdale may have been playing this game for generations now.
And that'll be interesting to find out. As we explore this, though, folks, you have a chance to kind of share your thoughts and opinions as well, because several ways you can reach out. You can like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes. But we also have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. But the chat is up and running as well. Maggie's got the chat up, so feel free. Feel free to jump in, share your thoughts about this episode in particular or Riverdale in general as we break this episode down. So it does start out, though, with Archie. He's been wanting to plan a great escape. And he has the initial idea of one that he's going to do with Joaquin, and it fails spectacularly.
Oh, man. I mean, I was pretty scared when they were getting shot at with those rubber bullets. That was definitely unnerving. And Archie, he's such a protector. He's our hero through and through. You know, he and Joaquin are running, and then Joaquin falls, and he picks him up. And, you know, he could have just ran for his own life, but he still went back to help his friend. And then even when he was getting shot with the bullets, he was covering Joaquin.
That's our boy right there.
I mean, what a champion.
But the threat of actually escaping, though, and getting caught for an attempted escape could potentially add time onto his sentence. So looking maybe another year of Archie spending in there, which, you know, that's not going to happen. We're not going to keep Archie behind bars that long.
No way.
But we also then have Jughead getting deep into Griffins and Gargoyles. And we saw at the end of last episode, it seemed really like Jughead had gone off the deep end when Betty comes down to the bunker. And do you feel, because at the end of the episode, I felt like last week, it really tried to be a cliffhanger, like Jughead has lost it. This episode, watching Jughead, do you think he has lost it? Or do you see any kind of rational reasoning to him in his plan of what he wants to try to do?
I feel like in his mind, Jughead thinks that everything he's doing, playing the game, getting deeper and deeper into the game, is helping him with their case to find out who's behind the game. And he's like, oh, you know, I just got to keep on playing. And then I'm going to find out who the game maker is. And then we're going to shut it all down. But in doing so, he's not sleeping. He's completely sucked in to this game that I think it's just taking him over.
It is. Have you ever played D&D at all?
No. Have you?
Neither have I.
Yeah.
So I've never been sucked into that experience so much where that I could kind of lose touch with everything around me. And right. I know not everybody does, but there are cases of people really going in deep into a D&D campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But I still find it so hard, like, all right, I guess we're going to buy into everybody in this town. As soon as that book comes by him, they just get sucked in.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking about this since I watched your show from last week, how you guys were like, this is unrealistic, you know, the cool kids wouldn't be playing this game. And I agree with you guys to an extent, but at the same time, I feel like it is realistic because there's not a whole lot going on in Riverdale.
How dare you?
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, you know, there aren't a lot of activities to do. And yeah, of course, they're solving crimes and they're going to parties and they're hanging out at the new speakeasy. But I feel like they're not living in a big city and they've never heard of this. And all of a sudden, it's in everybody's locker and they're all just curious. So it is believable to me that they would all be so involved in this game.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If you look at Riverdale life, I guess you've got Pop's Chocolate Shop.
Right.
You've got, the speakeasy, but that's within already Pop's Chocolate Shop.
Yeah.
But there's never really, other than the school and their houses,
we
never really see them hang out anywhere else.
There used to be the drive-in movie theater, but that's not even around anymore. So they can't even go to the movies.
There's not like a cool arcade around or anything like that with some like retro games.
Mm-mm. So they're like, here's something new and exciting and entertaining. Let's check it out.
Yeah, well, everybody is getting sucked into this, and so much so we get to see.
I'm just gonna say that Billie Jean Girl 24. She says Jughead bowed to the Dragon King. He's lost it. You know what? We were looking at that at the end, trying to see, you know, was that a bow or was that an acknowledgement or was he just trying to get a better look? But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because I wanted to go back and watch it because it felt like, was it a bow? But it seemed to me that he was just basically kind of crouching down to not be detected by the Gargoyle King, because it didn't feel like the Gargoyle King had detected him at the end of that. So I felt like he was just kind of crouching down a little bit, that it really wasn't a bow.
Yeah.
But that's just how I interpreted it.
I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see what happens next episode.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we see, of course, from last week's episode where Betty starts getting, we had our big flashback episode.
Oh, it was so good. Such a great episode. I loved last week so much. It's great.
We see, though, that Jughead wants to talk to FP about it. And I thought FP's response was interesting because you're only hearing Alice's story. My story is different.
Right.
Does that make you at all question what you saw last week in terms of what Alice told you? Do you question any of the accuracy of what she said?
I feel like Alice's account would be the most accurate because she was the only one not on the drugs. So I feel like she would have the most sobering perspective. But at the same time, FP may have seen or experienced something that Alice didn't. And maybe he has never shared that with anyone. So I don't know if the Midnight Club ever got together and kind of broke down all of their individual experiences and tried to piece it together, or they were just like, hey, we're not going to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, it's because certainly Alice scooted out pretty early into when the principal came back. So there's a large chunk of time that everybody else was still in the school. The principal's wandering around and then he ends up being murdered. But that FP could have seen something or interacted with somebody.
Right. There's definitely pieces to that puzzle of that Ascension Night that we as an audience don't know about yet. And there are some big secrets that I think are going to come out soon.
I was admittedly frustrated, though, that, and I feel like Riverdale will do this sometimes, when somebody is directly asked a question, they will just give a very short answer that is begging to be explored further, and the scene never goes farther. It just stops there. And you're like, I can't believe like Jughead would take what FP said and like, all right, well, that's good enough for me.
I feel like usually those scenes are between a parent and a child. They're like, no, you're too young to, you know about what really happened. And they just kind of brush it under the rug. And then it blows up later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you've already opened, and FP knows that you've opened up this can of worms with Alice telling Betty, it's like, then you may as well just say say what you've got to say.
I agree.
What are you waiting for at this point? Let's just do it.
And then we saw our younger generation make a similar pact of silence.
Yes.
That their parents made.
It is a reflection of everybody making a pact. I feel like our generation's pact is a more, I don't want to say nobler, but at least in a sense, they're protecting
someone.
Yes, as opposed to trying to avoid discussing about a murder and who may be involved.
Yes.
So, of course, we find out, though, that Veronica is like, we gotta figure out what's going on with Archie, because Hiram is baiting her, as Hiram does. And she gets a nice shout out to an old character that we haven't seen since last season. Elio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who was one of the potential suitors for Veronica last season.
Right. We barely saw him last season. He had a small role.
Yeah, but it seemed of all the suitors, at least the one that at least Veronica had some kind of spark with, at least talking business sense.
Right.
So it kind of made sense that if of any of those to reach out, because he does have mob connections.
Like, definitely. And maybe he has a soft spot for her. And he was like, okay, you know what? I'll help you out. I mean, that was shocking to me. I did not expect that he was going to bring Veronica to the fight location. I didn't see that coming.
Do you, because he does offer Veronica's like, if I get this information and help you out, I scratch your back. And Veronica says, oh yeah, I know, I'm a lodge, I know what this is all about. Do you feel that accepting this help from Elio is going to come back to bite her later in the season?
I'm sure it will. I'm absolutely sure it will. It kind of is setting itself up for that.
Especially when he is talking like, if you got some slot machines or like a table in here for some cards or blackjack. Yeah, I could feel like them putting a little pressure on there. It's like, I got you in to help Archie.
Yeah.
Let me put in a table or something. And then you got to deal with that hard gambling.
Right.
Oh.
Oof. I gotta say that my favorite scene of this episode was when Veronica and Archie had a reunion. It was so steamy, but it was also like heartwarming. You know, the ladies out there feel me. I know they do. I mean, it was pretty sexy when he like put her up against the lockers and, you know, who knows what happened after that. So it was good to see the two of them come together, especially because Archie has been going through just hell and back. And then finally he gets to see his girl and get a little bit of love and happiness and support and hope from her.
It was interesting, though, that he gets done beating somebody up there in the ring or in the pool, the unfilled pool. But they get 20 minutes. Like, oh, Veronica says we get about 20 minutes. I'm like, who is giving him like 20 minutes just to hang out in this locker room icing his knuckles?
I thought that, too. I was like, a guard is going to bust in here any yes. second. That I thought that was a little unrealistic.
I'm like, 20? Come on, guys. There you go. I don't know. Yeah. That was like one of the some kind of fictional show that we're not covering today.
Ooh.
But you know what? Maggie, we do cover lots of shows here at AfterBuzz.
We sure do. We have a special message for you guys right now. And hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. And from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. You guys, and we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. And hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. And let us know you did so in the comments and we will thank you live on air. And for now, thanks so much for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Very nice. I will say one thing is about Archie and Veronica, though. When Archie is first led out into the ring, and he's got the bag over his head, and Veronica just saying, I would recognize those abs anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I don't need to see that
I mean,
face.
Wouldn't we all, ladies? I think so.
I'm all about those abs.
I have a little news about those abs later in our show, by the way.
I'm very excited about that. There you go. Can't get enough of those KJ abs. There you go. We get to see Betty, though, since we did have that flashback last week. That there are more people than are just our core four that are involved in the Midnight Club. And we see Betty kind of spreading what she's known towards some of our secondary characters, which includes Josie, Kevin, and Reggie. Characters that we don't get to spend a lot of time with. But I like this episode that by the end of it, they have their own little pack that they're going to form within the larger pack to do some stuff. And I'm excited about this because those are three characters that don't get a lot of screen time, and I hope that means we're going to get some more from them.
I agree with you. I really like those characters. I love, I love Reggie. I love seeing Josie. I mean, all three of them are fantastic in the show, and they have such important storylines within themselves. So it'll be really nice to see them have a little more of their own action going on. I agree with you.
And it would be nice just to see it not in relation to how they interact with any of our big four, but just how the three interact amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And just see where that story goes. Because to feel like they've been put on their contract status, they're the regular, season regulars, we don't really see much of them. And that gets frustrating.
Josie and Kevin, we're going to see a little more interaction with the two of them, I think, because now all of a sudden their parents are engaged.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird, huh?
It was interesting because, of course, they find out from Betty that, oh, yeah, our parents were together back in high school. And when they kind of coyly ask about their high school years, they deny even knowing each other.
Right.
And I feel like, why would you – I don't know why they were so reluctant to even share that they were involved at all in high school.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it just has something to do with the pact that they made and how in last episode we saw that – they kind of went their separate ways after the Midnight Club ended. They barely even said hi to each other in the hallway. So I don't know. I think that they just kind of got involved in this idea that, no, we weren't friends and we're going to forget that whole experience happened. Even though they were in love, it seemed.
Yeah.
Right.
And certainly, I guess, even the early 90s still, in terms of people being accepting of people from different cultures, different races being together. Mm-hmm. It that seemed a little unusual to me. It's like, really? We're in the 90s. It shouldn't be that odd. But it was still enough to keep them kind of going their own separate ways, as you said, until they reunite now. And we've seen them kind of involved a little bit in previous seasons. But I feel like with every time with Riverdale, you get these huge plot jumps with a lot of the secondary characters because we don't spend a lot of time with them.
It's true.
So all of a sudden you can just have this episode where like, oh, you know what? We're getting married.
It's all about the core four.
Yeah. You're
like, yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Right.
What are the odds are that we will actually see that ceremony on an episode?
Oh, no. I don't think so. I don't think that's important enough for an episode. It'll be like, oh, they went to the courthouse and now they're married and now they're, you know, living together.
Because, you know, I'm thinking if you're thinking of like a daytime soap opera, anytime you announce like a wedding or a big event, that is usually a point where some other storyline will kind of impact at that wedding. It's usually a big indicator like, yep, something big's going to happen here. I don't know if for necessarily that for a nighttime drama, if it'll have that kind of like focal point, like, oh, yeah, it's a wedding and something big is going to happen.
Right.
I don't know, because it's a secondary character. So you're wondering, like, is it big enough to be like, yeah.
You know what? This just occurred to me, too. We didn't hear a single thing about the farm in this episode.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I'm kind of not involved in the farm either. But I'm still wondering if the farm has anything to do with Griffins and Gargoyles.
It will be interesting because I do agree with Jughead's theory that this is somebody that's been not one of the Midnight Club that was responsible for the murder of the principal, but is somebody that's been playing this game and has for a lot longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I don't know if I've seen anybody currently in the cast that would kind of fit that description of somebody that's been around a long time that you think could be the Gargoyle King.
I have one guess, and it's a very disappointing, disheartening guess.
Lay it on me, Maggie.
And I don't even know if I want to say it out loud because I feel like people will be upset with me because it would just be such a surprise. But that's why I'm thinking it, because it's the last person that you would think would be the Gargoyle King.
I'm going to write it down. Let me see. I'm going to see. All right. Do I match? Do I match Maggie?
The last person that you would think who's always there in Riverdale.
This is what I'm
who's
thinking.
Been around for years and years and years.
All right. I have written it down. All right. We'll see. Do I match
Maggie? Okay. Ready?
Yes. Well,
should we say it at the same time?
All right.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Pop.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we did it. Mind meld right there.
We're sorry, guys. It would be so heartbreaking if that was the truth. But doesn't it seem possible?
If you're looking for a character that's been around for a long time, that has been kind of under everybody's radar the whole time.
Yeah.
And knows everything that's happening within the town.
Yeah. It'd be heartbreaking. And I know that he, you know, went around in the last episode and he snatched the handbook out of somebody's hands and when they were at the chocolate shop. But, I mean, that could just be to keep up appearances.
Yeah.
Or it could be a supernatural being, and then they're going to have Sabrina the Teenage Witch come in and banish him, and it's going to be a demon. Those are my two theories. Let's see what you guys think.
I know the creator and executive producer, Roberta Aguirre-Sacasa, he has said that Sabrina's will be an actual supernatural phenomenon, an event that they'll be dealing with. But the Riverdale one won't be, but it'll still be creepy nonetheless.
So you don't think that she'll come in?
I don't think she'll come in.
To deal with the Gargoyle King?
Yeah. I think it's too... if this ever does happen, I can imagine perhaps next season.
Planet V says Pops is too short. Pops could be on stilts.
That's true.
Yep. A lot of people say he's too perfect, but don't let him be the bad guy. I know I don't want him to be the bad guy. Everybody says, no, not Pops. I'm sorry, you guys, but I just had to say it. But hopefully I'm totally wrong.
It is because the Gargoyle King, that costume is so bonkers.
I know
that whoever it does turn out to be, I'm going to want an episode of them just like
getting dressed.
Yes,
with the branches.
The whole story told from their perspective. Like, I got to get into this costume. Oh, what's going on? Because it is so ridiculous.
I know.
Because walking around in that costume in the woods where it is not stable footing the whole time.
And it's always like every time we see the Gargoyle King, it's like this weird slow turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not chasing you. You could get away incredibly easy from the
Maybe
Gargoyle
he's
King.
On like a Segway.
We are finding out, though, that more and more people in this town are involved in Griffin and Gargoyles than we originally thought. And it feels like you don't even have to play the game to be involved.
Right.
Because we see Joaquin, he starts throwing references out to, oh, yeah, if I stab you, Archie, the warden says I can ascend.
Yeah, that was really crazy that it was going on in, what is it, a juvenile hall?
Yeah.
Juvenile delinquent center. And what did the warden call him? I wrote it down. The red
paladin.
Man. And then did the warden take the drink the blue stuff because he failed the game? Because he didn't kill the red paladin and he was supposed to?
It seems like that was the case. He failed his task to ascend, so then he had to go away.
Gosh.
You failed your mission.
It's a pretty gross death scene.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, it's just... I mean, I'm glad I took off the glasses, though. I mean, that was, you know, very nice. But because he looked so composed, and then it was just like...
Ugh.
All right.
It just seems like such a juvenile game, and then this, you know, seemingly powerful man is under the thumb of this game. It just seems so strange to me that it... kind of got its hands into even this warden. I don't know.
Yeah, because he does invite Archie up to a final meal.
Yeah.
And I feel like at least Archie was smart enough to realize, like, oh, wait, this is my final meal. He was up. He picked up on what this is all about and used that as an opportunity to ask him some questions. Like, if I'm a dead man, you might as well tell me what you know, because, you know, who am I going to be able to tell?
That was smart, because he also said that the witnesses that were paid off were hiding in
Shadow
where
Lake.
Was it? It was no, it was a mine, right? Oh, the mines by Shadow Lake, yeah. Right? Right. So now Archie, I could see him going and finding those guys and confronting them and convincing them to change their testimony. And then Archie has an appellate attorney and has an appeal for his case.
No, that makes sense. I mean, you feel like his mom's got to come back. Molly Ringwald's got to come back to get her son off of...
Totally.
Out of this. But then also asks, are you in Hiram's back pocket?
Right.
And he says, no, you know, my soul belongs to somebody greater than that. And he's always watching. He's always watching.
That's right. The Gargoyle King, I think he was referring to.
It was interesting, though, that when they stage this jailbreak, we get to see a lot of interconnected scenes because it's Jughead wanting to run a campaign while Veronica's trying to stage this breakout to free Archie. And as Betty goes to solicit Jughead's help, he says, oh, wow, you freeing Archie is just the kind of human element I need to fold into my game to make it really compelling.
Right.
And so she's like, you have lost it. You go do your thing, but I'm taking your bike.
I got to say, I was... so disappointed in Jughead in that scene because Archie is supposed to be his best friend. And Betty's like, all right, Jug, you know, I need your help. Let's go break out your best friend and, you know, rescue him from this horrible situation he's in. And Jug's like, no, I'm going to play this game. Like, are you kidding me? Like, go help out your girlfriend, bust out your best friend. Like, what are you doing? Why is that game more important? And then he's going to let his girlfriend just go off into the woods on his bike alone on this dangerous mission?
Yeah, he was kind of losing it there, losing that kind of objectivity that he needed.
Right.
And it's not just Betty that's giving it a hard time. He's also getting it from his fellow serpents as well, who want to take this campaign out into the real world. And Jughead's like, nope, I'm the game master. I said, no, you're the Serpent King. You can't be both. And he decides to do a little William Tell with Cheryl.
Yeah. I mean, Cheryl, he knows how talented Cheryl is with the bow and arrow, but still, that was like a really ridiculous thing for him to do. I mean, like, why? Like, why do you need to do that? Everybody knows that she's Deadeye, that she's got a perfect shot, but why do you have to just make a point? I just feel like he was trying to assert his power over the other serpents as not only the Serpent King, but also the Game Master, saying like, sorry, I'm in charge of you no matter what. No matter what realm we're in or what stage of life we're in, I'm the boss.
Well, it works. It shuts Sweet Pea down.
Sure did.
He's not going to get up there with a can over his head.
Yeah.
But as we start to see the jailbreak unfold, it starts interconnecting with the game, and it definitely brings up those parallels between how real is the game and how it mirrors real life.
Right. It was really interesting how they did those scenes with the parallels with Jughead narrating what's going on in the game and then what was happening in real life with Archie getting busted out. That was very well done, I think, from a show running point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that was really interesting the way they did that.
And I will give it up for our gang that they came up with a smart way to make this happen in terms of Veronica saying we need to use things it's easy to smuggle in that we can make ourselves, and they go to the chem lab and make some smoke bombs.
It's pretty clever.
Yeah.
And then how she talked her way in to this event, and you know, she's like, "Don't you know who I am? Do you know who the warden is? And you know, do I need to call him?" And then how Kevin brought the cans in. It was just everything was very calculated, and they did a great job. And I thought when she saw Hiram, the whole thing was going to be done.
That's the only part that felt a little off to me, because they interact with, she meets Hiram, she steps on his foot because she still wants to go through with the plan, but there's still a little bit of time before her, after she steps on his foot, before the smoke bombs start rolling out. And I'm like, isn't Hiram going to tell anybody else? Is Hiram not going to try to contain her in some fashion? And none of that happens. I feel like a little too long of a gap.
I agree with you. I feel like he would have called security and been like, get her out of here. She's up to something.
Yeah.
Right.
But it doesn't happen, and they're able to execute that plan. But he does get some help from an old friend.
Yes. Mad Dog.
Yes.
First of all, where was Mad Dog?
Yeah. I have no idea.
I feel like he was in solitary confinement somewhere and, you know, was being brainwashed, or maybe he was playing the game.
I guess.
I don't know.
Because it had been made to seem like Mad Dog had died. At least that's what Archie was told.
Right.
And then he got all his stuff. But Mad Dog, at least at first, it didn't seem like he was like, oh, I'm fighting Archie. It took a little bit of time for him to kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, let me help you out.
Yeah, I don't know. And then once Archie told him the plan, I mean, he really saved the day. He was like, I'll hold off the security and you go for it. And Mad Dog, I mean, I know that he always kind of had a soft spot for Archie, and the two of them, when they shared the cell, they actually did get along really well. And Mad Dog was looking out for Archie. But, man, that was hard to watch, because I wanted Mad Dog. Finally, he was back, and I wanted to see his storyline continue and maybe have him escape, too. But, unfortunately, no.
Those broad shoulders wouldn't fit through that pipe.
Ugh.
What do you think the odds are? I feel like Archie's got to come back for him by the end of the, at least, if not the end of, like, the midseason, by the end of the season itself. Don't you think?
I feel like it's too dangerous for Archie to go back now, because he could easily be grabbed and thrown back in. I think he needs to be proven innocent before he goes back to try and save the others. So I think that appeal trial has to happen first.
Yeah. But I feel like, I don't think it's the last we've seen of Mad Dog.
No. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I feel like Archie's very loyal, and if there's somebody that helped him, he'd do as much as he could to try to help them out.
You're right.
Once it was safe for him, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, he fought off a bunch of guards to give Archie that time to slink out.
Yeah, so Mad Dog's so awesome and loyal. I mean, Joaquin, come on. Can't believe he stabbed him.
And we do see Joaquin, because he gets out of prison very easily, because he's running through the forest when he sees Kevin.
Do you think they let him go?
I mean, I guess part of that deal was like, if I do this, I can ascend.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess since he achieved his goal, I guess they let him out so he could ascend in some fashion.
I guess so.
But he says that he's joined a different gang. He's not going back to the Serpents. I belong to a different gang now.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know like how he got sucked into this Griffins and Gargoyles, because we've never seen him play the game, but we do see him listening to what the warden says.
Yeah, I'm sure. The warden was coming privately to a lot of the young men staying at this detention center and, you know, having private meetings with them and stuff. So he may have gone to Joaquin and been playing the game with him this whole time.
That's true.
We just didn't see it.
We do see, though, that they have a plan to get Archie out of there. What we think is going to be on a motorcycle, but we've already saw Betty kind of laying the groundwork saying, you know, maybe we do something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a little old switcheroo.
Yeah.
It's Kevin with Betty on that bike.
And thank goodness she did that, because Archie would have been right back where he started. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was great. I didn't see that coming. Did you know that it wasn't Archie on the bike?
I figured it had to be. They're not going to get them busted that easily. So
see, I definitely thought it was Archie. I was like, oh no, what are they going to do? Oh, so glad it was Kevin.
It was Kevin. Yeah. Like, your boy, even though he wanted to go find Joaquin, he still came back from what was important.
And I got to point out that Betty looks super hot in that black leather serpent's jacket. And she had her hair done up. And like, she reminded me of the scenes that we saw of her mother from last week when she was like the badass Betty, you know, and that was badass, or excuse me, you know what I'm saying. Dangerous looking Alice Cooper. Yeah. But it was fun to see her like that, you know, taking charge and being the hero for once.
Yeah. And of course, Veronica swears everybody to the pact, which we kind of talked about. Mm-hmm. They're in the bunker. Nobody's going to say anything about the jailbreak, about who where Archie is or anything. And then we see at Pop's Chocolate Shop that Josie, Kevin, and Reggie decide, we want answers about everything that happened with our parents, so we're going to play the gang game amongst ourselves.
Yikes.
I can't imagine anything good happening out of three of them just playing the game.
No, I don't think so. And can only three people play? Every time we've seen it, it's been a large group.
Well, I mean, we did see Dilton and what's her name? The boy who ended up killing himself.
Oh, that's right.
So it was just the three of them.
Yeah.
That... that played it. But that also didn't seem like a fun way to play the game. When it's just three people, I don't know.
That's true.
So I'd be curious to see how the three of them playing it gets them sucked in or not.
External Shockwave says, thank God it wasn't a pink serpent jacket. I think she'd look pretty hot in a pink serpent jacket. We should get her one. That sounds cool. It's you know, because Cheryl has her red jacket.
True.
Betty would look cute in a pink one. But yeah, you know, it doesn't really fit her dark side. Remember a couple seasons ago, she was super dark.
I'm so glad we're past that.
I don't know. That she wig, might get dark again.
Ugh, I just never want to see that wig again.
Yeah.
No, that wig was just no bueno for me.
Right.
All right. So, folks, we like to do a little segment here where we kind of reward for excellence and then maybe a little gentle ridicule for some goofiness during the episode. It is Class President, Class Clown.
Remember a couple seasons ago,
Look at this. Sweet drum line kicking in. So, Maggie, nice. I will ask you, who is your class president this week?
It's obvious to me. It is Betty. I think Betty totally saved the day. She was the hero of this episode for me.
Interesting. I'm going to go with a different woman. I'm going to go with Veronica.
Okay.
I mean, she staged that jailbreak, and it went off without a hitch.
That's true.
So, she made it work to get those abs out along with that redhead that comes out with it.
The ladies were definitely the heroes of this episode. So,
very
bottom
true.
Line. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to turn it to you then for Class Clown. Who was the one that seemed so goofy this episode?
Jughead, what were you thinking? You left your best friend in the dust and you didn't even help out your girlfriend with the secret mission. So, mad at you, Jug.
Part of me would like to say Jughead, but I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt that his end goal will pay off in the end and kind of excuse some of this behavior up front. I'm going to go with Joaquin.
Oh, definitely.
Archie, yes. You know, as you were talking about at the beginning, I mean, he was saving Joaquin left and right at the beginning during that failed jailbreak. And what does he get for it? He gets stabbed by Joaquin and Joaquin just runs off.
Ah.
So Joaquin, awful. My class clown.
Absolutely. He's more of a class clown than Jughead. I agree with you.
But feel free to comment in the chat or down below if you're watching this after we stream live, who your class president or class clown are. But we'll move on to the next. Some hot news and gossip.
Yes.
Maggie's been excited about this all evening long.
I'm so excited. Well, first of all, a little bit of news and gossip for you guys. The E! People's Choice Awards were held on Sunday, and our beloved show Riverdale had 4 nominations, and they took home the big prize for the category of the drama show of 2018. So we are currently watching the best drama on TV. So I definitely agree. What about you?
It is a fun soapy watch for sure.
Yeah, so congratulations, Riverdale. And then my second piece of news and gossip, which I teased earlier today, is that our hero of the show, KJ Apa, who plays Archie, he is on the cover of Flaunt magazine showing off those famous abs, and it is their transience issue. So it's a super hot cover. It's on his Instagram if you would like to check it out. Oh, and we've got some photos of our Archie coming
up. What a great name for a magazine, though. Flaunt. I mean, Flaunt. If you gotta flaunt it, right?
Wow, it is a steamy cover, so check it out, ladies and gentlemen.
I got one little bit here. We all talked about last week how Kelly Ripa is going to be joining for an episode as Hiram's mistress. Oh, we have a little more information. Her name's going to be Mrs. Mulray, described as confident and tough. She's a beautiful, icy femme fatale who gets caught up in a conspiracy that's much bigger than she initially realized.
Oh, she's going to be great.
Yes.
Beautiful, icy femme fatale. She's going to be perfect.
And the cast enjoyed working with her, those that did, and there are people that would love for her to come back, including Lily Reinhart, who didn't get a chance to do a scene with her, so that's also a reason that she would love for her, so she can actually be on camera with Kelly Ripa. So
Kelly Ripa and Mark, her husband, are just so funny on social media. If you guys haven't checked it out, they comment on their stuff all the time, and it's just, it's pretty fun to see the two of them interact. Their love is real. It's nice.
And of course, you know, then their son got to play a young Hiram.
Right, that was sweet.
So look at that. Very nice.
Yeah.
So let's round out the episode here with some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Maggie, what do you think?
Okay, I think that Archie, once he heals and gets stronger, he's going to find the three boys that accused him on the stand, and he's going to confront them. I think that's going to happen. And then I think that Jughead is just going to fall deeper and deeper into this wormhole of this game.
I feel Jughead at some point is going to be faced with that chalice again, where he's going to have to probably pick the right cup. I feel like that might come into play at some point. I'm going to say Jughead, even though he's going a little bonkers and he's kind of going way too deep right now, it's still going to pay off for him, I think. And my hope is that we still have, as you said, we didn't get any talk about the farm, which I'm thankful for this episode, but I would rather have the farm be a separate storyline. I still want to go with my thing, like, let's wrap this up mid-season, and then when they come back for the spring, we can focus on the farm as the main focus of the storyline for that.
That sounds good.
I would like that. Yeah. Because I feel like last season when they did with the Black Hood, and it's just like there's too much of it, it kind of bled through it, and it wasn't executed as well as I would have liked. So I rather would just give me a strong ending, and then let's go into the next chapter.
That sounds good to me. Let's do it.
All right. Some solid predictions. There we go. Is the writer's room listening to me? Who knows? Probably not. No worry. But ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for Riverdale. As always, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. And if you're watching after we stream live, feel free to comment down below. And big thank you to the incredibly awesome, super talented Maggie Clark for joining us here. Please come back.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to come back. This is my favorite show, like I said, and it's so fun chatting with you, Frank.
Oh, you don't have to say that. I paid her handsomely before we did this. Please just say something nice about me. But if you want to stay in touch with us even after the show's off the air, Maggie, where can they find you?
Well, you guys can find me at Maggie Clark on camera on Instagram and at Maggie on camera on Twitter. And if you want to see a little bit more of me on AfterBuzz TV, you can watch me on the A Million Little Things After Show on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Time.
Oh, fantastic. James Rode on that show. Who play from us? Psych. Look at that.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. We will be back here Wednesday, September. I've jumped so far ahead. Back in time. November 28th. After Thanksgiving, they'll be off next week for Thanksgiving week, and then they'll be back November 28th, as will we right here on the Riverdale After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.